Welcome to episode 440 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The Gospels contain an account of the time the disciples and Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus was arrested. In the garden, Jesus prayed to his Father three times, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." The King James Version says, "Let this cup pass from me." A little later, Jesus prays, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." These prayers reveal Jesus' mindset just before the crucifixion and his total submission to the will of God. The cup to which Jesus refers is the suffering he was about to endure. It's as if Jesus were being handed a cup full of bitterness with the expectation that he drink all of it. Jesus had used the same metaphor in Matthew 20 verse 22 when prophesying of the future suffering of James and John. When Jesus petitions the Father, "Let this cup pass from me," he expresses the natural desire to avoid pain and suffering. Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully human. His human nature, though perfect, still struggled with the need to accept the torture and shame that awaited him. His flesh recoiled from the cross. In the same context, Jesus says to his disciples, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." In praying, "Let this cup pass from me," Jesus was battling the flesh and its desire for self-preservation and comfort. The struggle was intense. Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And Luke, the physician, observed that Jesus was sweating blood, a sign of extreme anguish. If anything shows that Jesus was indeed fully human, this prayer is it. The next day, during his crucifixion, perhaps only minutes before his death, his body had been nailed to a rough wooden cross, and undoubtedly he was enduring almost unimaginable pain. The Bible says Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Was this evidence that Jesus doubted his Father? No. He still referred to him as "my God." But Jesus was shrinking back from the horror he was about to experience. A horror you and I can barely imagine. Remember, Jesus was completely innocent. Not just of the sins he was accused of committing that led to his condemnation by Pilate, but of all sin. On the cross, all our sins were transferred to him, and he was about to take upon himself the judgment that you and I deserve for our sins. What would that mean? It would mean that Jesus would be separated from his Father. The unbroken fellowship he had enjoyed with God from all eternity was about to be shattered, for sin cannot exist in God's holy presence. Don't take lightly what Jesus Christ did. The Bible says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." While Jesus struggled, he did not doubt. But many of us have. Most Christians have at some point experienced a time of spiritual doubt when they questioned what they believed about their religion or God. But many make it through stronger for having faced their honest questions, especially when they have a community to guide them through it. Questioning what you believe about religion or God is commonplace for most American adults who self-identify as Christian. Just over one quarter say they still experience spiritual doubt, while 4 in 10 say they have experienced it in the past but have worked through it. Only about one-third claim to have never experienced it at all. Even devout groups like Practicing Christians still experience doubt, though perhaps because they are the most active in their faith practice and enjoy the support systems and resources of a church community, they are also one of the most likely groups to have worked through their doubt. Having come of age in a more secular and pluralistic culture, millennials currently experience about twice as much doubt as any of the other generational groups, like Gen Xers or boomers or elders. Men are also more likely than women to actively experience doubt. Those who have been through college and encountered an array of ideas, philosophies, and worldviews are twice as likely to experience doubt as those who have a high school education or less. Among those who either currently or previously experienced spiritual doubt, the most common response from about half of them was to leave their church or worship gatherings. 3 in 10 adults stop reading the Bible. 3 in 10 adults stop praying. While another quarter quit talking with friends or family about spirituality, God, or religion. Millennials were significantly more likely than other generations to stop doing all of the above, and at rates much higher than the general population. Facing spiritual doubt can also be a quiet experience. 4 in 10 doubters didn't change anything in response to their doubt. Though doubt may affect one's spiritual routines, many refuse to sort through their questions alone. 4 in 10 of those who experienced spiritual doubt went to their friends or family to find help or answers, and 19% found an ally in their spouse. The church remained a refuge for 1 in 5 doubters, and a similar percentage turned to the scriptures for support. Surprisingly, only 18% of spiritual doubters turned to their pastor or spiritual leader for answers. The fact that so few would go to their spiritual leaders, or church for that matter, may reflect the awkwardness of confiding in the individuals and the institution that represent one's questions, as well as the challenges that ministry leaders face to create safe spaces for doubt. At the end of the day, spiritual doubt can be a powerful and formative experience, strengthening and bolstering faith. For more than half of those who have wrestled with doubt, the time spent asking honest questions about what they believe about their religion or God made their faith stronger. For another 3 in 10, it had no effect at all. About 1 in 8 lost their faith entirely, and a small minority say they held on to a weakened version of their faith. If you've ever doubted, you are in good company, not only with John the Baptist, Thomas, Peter, and others in the Bible, but with many who have lived more recently whom we would consider stalwarts of the faith. In 2013, Francis Chan, pastor and founder and chancellor of Eternity Bible College, said this to those who were in the audience of a conference: "I'm struggling with some of my doubt, still struggling with some of my joy." For John Calvin, one of the fathers of Protestantism, doubting your faith is something to expect, not something to fear. Doubt, according to Calvin, was a part of his faith experience, even stating in his seminal work, Institutes of the Christian Religion, that unbelief is in all men always mixed with faith. Calvin understands that spiritual doubt manifests itself because ideas about God are usually above and beyond the capacity of human nature. From the same book, the Reformer has one line in particular that best describes his ideals about belief and doubt. "For unbelief is so deeply rooted in our hearts, and we are so inclined to it, that not without hard struggle is each one able to persuade himself of what all confessed with the mouth, namely, that God is faithful." The great Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, asserted that we are all at risk of falling into bouts of doubt and unbelief, even going as far as saying that "I do not believe there ever existed a Christian yet who did not now and then doubt his interest in Jesus." Despite being a major figure in faith today, even Mother Teresa of Calcutta was not immune to struggles with doubt. A book of her letters, printed posthumously, shows that she frequently wrote about fears and not hearing from God. Dubbed the Dark Letters, the letters show her doubt of faith in various forms. In one letter in 1959, she writes, "If there be no God, there can be no soul. If there is no soul, then Jesus, you also are not true. Father, thank you for Jesus, who though he was harassed and harried, still did not doubt. Though he could have willed to have the cup of tribulation pass from him, yet he chose to drink from it. May we also have the courage and faith to believe, despite the circumstances." That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.